Bane.
Welcome in.
And ain't backstage
six. This edition of the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Caleb Turrentine, your host for this new Wednesday show. Eric Evenson alongside my co-host and Matt Davis across the glass here producing for us, bringing us in to some nice music.
Feels good to be back.
It does. We will be the Wednesday crew every Wednesday from 3 to 4 here on the student section. The show itself will be Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 3 to 4, but you're stuck with us on Wednesdays if this happens to be the day that you are scrolling through the radio and you come by us.
Sorry about it.
We apologize. The Monday, Friday show is probably pretty good.
I'm not that sorry. We're good.
We're good. Yeah, we're good. It's confidence, right? It's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
Welcome in. We are here to talk some sports, and there's a lot of it. We'll talk everything from the college football here in Tuscaloosa to maybe some hockey by the end of the semester. Which will be great. I know Eric will be looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Today we have a lot of baseball to talk about. We'll get into some NFL, and then we'll finish things off in the final segment with a little bit of fun and give you some stuff to watch for over the next couple of days. But we're going to open it up with one of the main news stories from yesterday. Veteran quarterback Michael Vick signed a contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers as their backup. The Steelers' backup was injured, and now they had to go out and try to find someone capable, and Michael Vick seems to be that guy. Hopefully, for Steelers fans, Michael Vick never has to play a down.
Hopefully.
And really for NFL fans, because Ben Roethlisberger seems to be getting better, and that offense seems to be getting better, but this is a good thing for the Steelers. You always need to have a capable backup, especially, I mean, it seems like a team signs Michael Vick, and suddenly their starting quarterback goes down and he has to play. I don't know if he's a part of that, if it's a curse, but Eric, as a Steelers fan, what do you think about this move?
I mean, I like it. Bruce Gradkowski was the Steelers' backup before with Landry Jones as their third string. Landry Jones hasn't shown much, so it's nice to get a veteran guy in there to back up Ben Roethlisberger. Like you said, hopefully he doesn't have to play, but it seems that just about every year except last year, Ben Roethlisberger will go down with a hand injury or a jaw injury or something just because how much he stands in the pocket and takes those hits. But hopefully he doesn't have to play. The Steelers' offensive line is a lot better this year than it has been in years past, except Marquise Pouncey's now hurt. But like you said, hopefully he doesn't have to play, but I still like the signing of Michael Vick as the backup. A lot of Steelers fans aren't happy. I, myself, am a big Michael Vick fan, having grown up in Atlanta.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that Roethlisberger has seen those injuries in the past. He had a year off, but how can you trust that can stay? And that's why they had to go out and get a guy who's capable of playing in the NFL. And when even if Roethlisberger misses a half of a game or two games just back-to-back somewhere along the way, it's nice to have a guy who has the experience. And when you're looking, as the Steelers are, possibly a lot of people are saying the third best team in the AFC this year behind the Colts and Patriots. When you're going to be right there one or two games behind for a home field advantage in the playoffs, you're going to need every single game. And if Roethlisberger goes down, Michael Vick is good to be there. Another story from yesterday, the Houston Astros absolutely demolished the New York Yankees. On Monday, the Yankees beat the Astros 1-0 in a game that went down to the ninth inning on a walk-off sacrifice fly. Tuesday was very different. Tuesday, the Astros only scored in three innings, but in those three innings, they scored 15 runs, and they ended up winning 15-1. Clearly, Dallas Keuchel was on the mound for the Astros. They didn't need those 15 runs. It didn't matter. Once they scored five in the first inning, as a Yankees fan, I was like, all right, this is done. Yeah. I'm done with this game because we're not going to score five runs on Dallas Keuchel. It just doesn't happen this year. The bench is cleared in the sixth inning. And that was a big story as well. Carlos Gomez once again being in the heart of
Carlos Gomez.
That's what he was. And then he got the last laugh when he hit a three-run homer after telling the Yankees bench to shut up. I don't know if y'all watched that game, but when you're looking at the Astros and going forward, how impressive does this team look? And once again, they're winning right now. I believe it's 7-2 now at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx against another playoff team. How big is this series?
I mean, I think this is it's a very big series, obviously. These teams are separated by one game in terms of record, not in the same division, but this could possibly, if the Yankees end up winning that division, this this matchup could determine who gets the higher seed, who plays who in the playoffs. It's a big series, obviously, and I'm really, really impressed by the Astros. I thought by this time, they started to fall off earlier in the season. Now they've just picked back up to where they were in the first part of the season. And it's just, it's an impressive lineup all the way through. And then they have also have impressive pitching with Scott Kazmir, like you mentioned, Dallas Keuchel. Lance McCullers has been very good this year as a rookie. Mike Fiers just threw a no-hitter. I mean, it's an impressive team. And the one thing that that stood out to me about this game yesterday is of the starters that batted 1-3 with the Astros, they only got one hit combined out of those guys, and they scored 15 runs, and the rest of everybody else had two or three hits. And so this lineup 1-9 is very impressive, and to go with that pitching staff and the bullpen, also pretty good. It's an impressive team.
Yeah, from where they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when they were first, you know, on their tail end of being in the National League to being in the American League, last place. Most of our lives, they were
eliminated by game 50 every year.
I mean, they were the joke of Major League Baseball, and to see where they've come in such a quick amount of time with all their rookies, and you know, everybody used to joke around saying you can't really just farm; you need to go out and get players. But they found a way to farm their guys, mature their guys, and at such a young age, like Carlos Correa, George Springer, even Dallas Keuchel, who's you know not so young, but he's a pretty young guy. Just to where that this team is, they're exceeding expectations for what baseball and baseball fans have expected from the Astros.
I mean, this was a team like we talked about them before the year. This was a team like the Cubs. We thought, okay, they have some talent on there, but they might be 1 or 2 years away. But both those teams still in it and are very good teams.
Yeah, the Astros have had an impressive season, and they seem to only be getting better. They're running away with that AL West now, as no one really wants to take hold of that second spot. We'll get more into that in the next segment. But one of the players that the Astros went out and got, and didn't just bring up in their system, Carlos Gomez is the one who made the headlines once again. We mentioned it already. Yesterday he had a long fly ball in the sixth inning that he apparently got mad that he just got under, barely missed. He thought it should have been a home run. And he threw his bat, and then the Yankees bench apparently started saying things to him. He got upset. He told them to shut up. And then he told them to come say it to his face while telling them to shut up. Probably giving some mixed signals to the Yankees players, like "Don't talk to me," but also
it was lost in the translation.
It was.
He's a foreigner. It was lost in the translation.
Well, Gomez ended up continuously telling the Yankees bench to shut up. It ended both benches coming out. We've seen this several times, but in a game that's 15-1 between two teams that are supposed to be focusing on the playoffs, it was kind of like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
It seemed kind of pointless. Granted, it was 9-0 at this point, so I guess the Yankees thought they still had a chance. And then, in the seventh inning, like I mentioned, Carlos Gomez hit a 3-run homer and didn't say a word to a Yankees player, and that was pretty funny to me, even watching it from the opponent's standpoint, watching Carlos Gomez around the bases and just kind of staying silent, knowing that I got them back. We're even now.
Look. This is ridiculous. You know, you see guys, they get mad when they get under a ball. You're losing 9-0. Just shut up. Shut up and play the game. Seriously. Yeah. Of course, everybody's going to get mad when they think they get their pitch and they miss it. Okay, it's why do you care? Focus on that you're losing 9-0. Don't focus on the fact that he's angry that he missed his pitch. Okay, everybody gets mad when they miss, quote-unquote, their pitch. You know, we see that from David Ortiz and all these guys that throw their bats. They're frustrated with themselves. Okay, has nothing to do with the Yankees. Has nothing to do with them. They're just, you know, they're just upset that it's 9-0. I think they're trying to get in his head even more? Yes, but he launched a 3-run home run, so it didn't really work.
Yeah, you look at the guy. I mean, it was the bench who was yelling at him. They had their 9 players on the field, their starters on the field. The Yankees did. And it was the bench that was yelling at him. These guys are out there, you know, they know about Carlos Gomez. They know what kind of personality he has.
All of baseball, you get after him,
you know what's going to happen. And, you know, when you're down 9-0 and you want something to happen, you want some excitement going your way, maybe that was the way to hopefully get back in the game.
Yeah.
It didn't work. Game's over. There's really nothing more to talk about. We talked a little bit about this on Monday's edition of the student section, but Steve Sarkisian had a big... mistake happened at USC's rally. I can't remember what it's called,
It's the I had it here. I'll
it's
get
the
it.
Night of something.
Salute to Troy.
Yes,
event.
The salute to Troy. The it's not even Troy. It's USC.
doesn't make sense.
But the Trojans, they had a rally. Steve Sarkisian went up there. Apparently, was very, very intoxicated, and he said he just went on a rant. He called teams like UCLA and Oregon and Arizona State. He said they all suck. And those are the three teams that they could easily lose to this year. And giving them something extra wasn't the greatest idea, but everything he said, it was out of control. You could tell he was out of control, and that gave USC a lot of problems. That turned into yesterday, USC put a ban on alcohol in their locker room. Now, I want to ask, why did it take this long to ban alcohol in a college football locker room?
I was thinking that same thing. I was like. I mean, it wasn't banned.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just a known thing that alcohol should be banned, especially in like college locker rooms. It didn't make sense to me, and it was actually I opened up the article just to see like what the circumstances were, because it just blew my mind that it wasn't already banned.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The report was that he medicated pills and alcohol and. Every person, no, not even like a smart person, just every person knows that's just a bad idea.
I mean, that's
got bad idea written all over. And Steve Sarkisian should know better. He's not at a university like Troy or, you know, UAB. He's at USC, which is a historically storied program. You can't do that. You need to behave. You need to act like you're a head coach. You need to realize that even if there's not a ban, common sense says, oh, well, you know, people always said, don't mix pills and alcohol. What did I do wrong? Oh, I did what everybody said not to do. And literally, I think one of their biggest markets, LA, USC. I mean, you need to be smarter. And especially as a head coach, that's ridiculous.
A lot of people are saying that Sarkisian needs maybe a suspension, a couple of games suspension, because they're saying if this was a player, you might see a dismissal from a team or at least like a game suspension, something like that, depending on how bad it was.
He's going to get help.
Yeah, USC said that people are saying that USC should sit Sarkisian for a couple of games, maybe make sure he gets the help that he needs. But I'm one to say, yes, this was clearly a wrong thing to do, but you don't treat your players and coaches the same. They're not the same. You don't treat them the same, because that's just not how college football works. You have student athletes and you have a coach that you're paying millions of dollars. That's different. You treat them differently. Now, for at a certain point, you do keep the coaches at a higher standard because they should know better than the players. So maybe there is something to go along with that. But they know Sarkisian. We haven't seen problems like this before. He's a good coach. That'll be interesting to see how that handles. We'll get into that a little later in the final segment. Real quick, before we go to break, I wanted to mention the IndyCar driver that passed away this past week, Justin Wilson. It's always tough to see something like that happen in the sports world. He was in a coma for a day and then passed away. Today, it was reported that he saved, after his death, his organs helped save the lives of six others. So that's something that really should get out there. It's awesome. I mean, it's terrible to see what happened, but it's awesome to know that a guy like that can still make an impact. Because everything you heard about him, I mean... Even if I didn't follow IndyCar racing at all, no, I didn't even know the name. But over the past couple of days, hearing stories about what kind of guy he was, it's really cool to see that he could still have an impact after something terrible happened. So,
and on that note, let's also, you know, thoughts and prayers out to the Roanoke, Virginia shooting, the news crew this morning. Very sad that, you know, we're almost in the same kind of media that they are. But you know, all thoughts and prayers going out to, I don't know the station's call. I think it's like WRJD or something like that. Mm-hmm. But thoughts and prayers out to their families and the entire crew over there.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Sorry, we're going to end the segment there on that note. We're going to get back to sports in a world that has these kind of things happen. We still try to talk sports and things that don't have as big of an impact on people, but that's what we're here to talk about, and we hope that you can stay and enjoy it. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Student Section on 90.7 The Capstone.
You are listening to the longest-running sports show on WVUA, the Student Section on WVUA-FM 90.7.
All right, guys, look. We hit a little wall in the middle of practice, but you guys picked it up to finish. And I don't care how you feel or what you do, you've got to have the mental toughness to persevere. Learn from your mistakes, get better, and don't let it beat you. Don't let the conditions out here beat you. Don't let anybody beat you. We're going to win every play, every day, every time. Win on three. One, two, three, win.
More than 7.7 million American teenagers participate in high school sports every year, including about 95,000 here in Alabama. They're all learning essential life lessons, like the importance of hard work, time management and self-discipline, skills that are helping them become better leaders and more active, responsible citizens. This message presented by the Alabama High School Athletic Association and the Alabama High School Athletic Directors and Coaches Association.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Reese Davis from College Game Day. Listen to 90.7 The Capstone. They have the best sports staff ever. Well, except for mine. But they're good. But not as good as mine.
Welcome back into the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. Caleb Turrentine, Eric Evenson, Matt Davis here along with you. We're here to talk some MLB. There's a lot going on. We know it's month of August is coming to a close, which means September baseball is almost here. And that, I mean, October baseball is great, but when September is here and you have 25 teams trying to play for a spot to have a chance at a World Series, it gets exciting. So as we wind down August, there's a lot to talk about. We know that the Mets have been really a great surprise team. The Nationals, on the other hand, they've actually been a surprise team too, just in the opposite way that they wanted to. Now, the Mets seem to be running away with the division as of right now, but the Nationals still have the talent. And last night, Steven Strasburg threw six solid innings, just giving up two hits, striking out seven, and gave up two runs on a Jed Jarocho home run, which it was a bad pitch, but you know, sometimes you have one mistake a game and you still throw a great game, and Strasburg did. We know how good Strasburg can be if he can keep this up, what we saw last night. We know how good Scherzer can be. We know how good Zimmerman can be. Mm-hmm. Last night, the offense scored eight runs on James Shields, which I know he hasn't been the same this year, and the Padres really haven't been great. But this Padres series could get them back on track. Do you think the Nationals are done because of the way the Mets are playing, or do you think they can get back in it?
They're not. I'll say it this way. They're not done yet, but their window is closing very quickly because the Mets are playing so well. They've won five straight now, and their pitching has just been so good. Their lineup is now producing. Since the trade deadline, they got Yonis Cespedes, and it's just once they get Lucas Duda back, just now getting David Wright back, this lineup is going to be a lot better. And with that pitching, it's going to be tough to catch him. The hope that the Nats have now is they just got Steven Strasburg back, and they're just now getting, yesterday was his first game back, Denard Span. He is really going to shore up that center field spot and the top of their lineup. Michael Taylor this year, No offense to him, he just hasn't been what Denard Span has been in years past. 242 batting average, 290 on base percentage, and 392 slugging percentage, 13 home runs, 55 RBIs. That's not bad, but he just hasn't been able to do what Denard Span can do at the top of the lineup. Denard Span in limited action this year, 299 batting average, 364 on base percentage, 11 stolen bases, and about 60 games. So he's the table setter they need at the top of their lineup. Jason Worth has actually been at the top of their lineup lately, and he just hasn't. That's not going to work. No, he's not a leadoff hitter. He's a run producer, and you need him in the middle of your lineup. And last thing, the Nats are 35-24 when Denard Span is in the lineup. So he's really key to this team, and if they can get hot with him in the back in the lineup, they could make some noise, but their window is closing quickly if the Mets keep winning.
Yeah, I really agree with Eric. The Nats, the past several years since we've been in college, ever since they got Strasburg and Harper, they've been the team that we all thought, you know, they're always the favorites to make it to the World Series, and for some reason they just need something. There's always something that we find out is missing, or something just goes wrong, whether it's in the playoffs and they just lose. You know, it was the year that Strasburg was coming off of his Tommy John surgery. They made it to the playoffs, but he reached his innings limit and they just refused to start him, and that ended up being the one of the reasons why they didn't make it further. This year it's just timing. You know, they were hot all season, and they just hit a really they hit a bad cold spell at a bad time, and they just need something. You know, we all know September is the call-up month. MLB rosters expand to 40 players, so there's going to be minor league guys coming up, you know, players, pitchers. There's going to be help for the Nats, but they need to start winning now. You know, before September hits, they need to get something going to where they could just build off of it. This is where you build your momentum now.
Now, the Nationals are just 5.5 back of the Mets, which, when you think about it, the Cubs are 6.5 back of the Cardinals currently. And to be honest, that would be a surprise for the Cubs to catch, but no one would really think that it would be as crazy as seeing the Nationals catch the Mets, which is weird. Which is weird right now. The Mets are just 5.5, or the Nationals are just 5.5 back. But let me ask you this: if the Nationals fix things and they come back and they end up winning that division, does it make Bryce Harper a shoo-in for MVP?
Depends on what he does.
If I'm gonna say, if the Nats make the playoffs, he's a shoo-in for the MVP, just because. I mean, even when the Nats were cold, Bryce Harper hasn't been cold. He's still sticking right at there with a 330 batting average, over 400 on-base percentage, and over 30 home runs. His power has gone down a little bit, but still just producing runs in the middle of that lineup. If the Nats make the playoffs, I think he's a shoo-in for MVP. They don't make the playoffs, then it gets interesting, because there's a lot of people out there that, I mean, that are good on playoff teams, and so it'll get interesting.
Well, the Nationals are currently on a three-game winning streak. Like I said, they're playing the Padres, which doesn't mean much when you think about who they're beating, maybe. But at the same time, you got to beat somebody to get things going, and then this might help them entering in the month of September. We're going to move on to the NL Central now. The NL Central is just really kind of amazing. I don't even know where this came from. I mean, we knew the Cardinals were good. We knew the Pirates were good. We knew the Cubs that had good players. We did not see this coming. I mean, we're looking at the NL Central, and it's arguably the three best teams in baseball. You could put the Royals in there. They still have the second best record in baseball. But I don't know. If you put the Royals in a seven-game series against the Pirates or Cubs, I don't know who I would take.
And I think it's crazy that the Royals have that record. They're only two games ahead of the Pirates, and the Pirates have had to play the Cubs and the Cardinals all season. I mean, it's just, if any of those three teams play in that division, they might have 80 to 85 wins. It's just having to play in that division so much, it's wild how good those records are.
The Cubs are on a six-game winning streak right now, and they keep climbing up those standings, and the Pirates are just 4.5 back of the Cardinals. And the Cubs are just 6.5 back of the Cardinals, 2 back of the Pirates. And when you're looking at this, we thought, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, the Cardinals are clearly number one team in this division. They're going to win. And we're like, the Cubs-Pirates, they should have wild cards, but they could drop off and not give the Cardinals a run for their money. But are the Cardinals a safe bet still in this division?
I think, you know, you have to give them the respect of being the best team in baseball. You know, there's something that's been earned for them being the first team to win 50, first team to win 60, first team to win 70. They're going to be the first team to win 80. And, you know, I have them between 97 to 100 wins I mean, over 97 wins, I can see them winning over 100 games. But you have to give them the respect. They've earned it all season. They've played great baseball all season. It's going to be competitive all the way to the end with these three teams, but you have to give the Cardinals the respect of what they've been able to do this season.
Here's my prediction, and this isn't just because I'm a Pirates fan. I have talked to multiple Cardinals fans who have agreed with me. The Pirates will win the NL Central. I think they I said it a couple weeks ago. They still have a big run in them. They're getting AJ Burnett back in a couple weeks, just got Josh Harrison back, just got Jordy Mercer back. Gregory Polanco has raised his batting average from 231 up to 265 in the last month. He's been one of the hottest hitters in the league. The Pirates have three of the top 10 outfielders in the NL in terms of WAR over the last or since the All-Star break. The Pirates are a really scary team, and the reason I think they could catch the Cardinals is over the next week and a half, they're in the midst of a four-game series against the Marlins right now. Then they play three at home against the Rockies, and then they play three against the Brewers, followed by three games against the Cardinals at the beginning of September. They still have six games left against the Cardinals. The Cardinals right now are playing the Diamondbacks. Not an easy matchup. They won the first two games of that series, but not an easy matchup. Then they play the Giants and the Nats. We just talked about the Nats getting hot. The Cubs right now playing the Giants and the Dodgers. I really think the Pirates can catch the Cardinals and end up winning this division. And I've talked to multiple Cardinals fans who also agree with that. So that's not just my bias. I think it might happen.
I could see it going any of the three ways, to be honest with you. I mean, it'd be tough to see the Cubs come back 6.5 games. But I think that they're on another 6-game winning streak. We saw like a 9-game winning streak a couple weeks ago, and we thought that was just one. Well, they're on another one right now. And, this year, the Cubs are 7-0 against the first place Mets, 5-0 against the defending champion San Francisco Giants. I believe they are 8-4 against the Pirates this year. They still have six games left to play against the Pirates, and they're 500 against the Cardinals. This Cubs team has been good all year, and they're only getting better.
Yep.
And that's what I think should scare a lot of people, and really those two teams in the NL Central. But I think it's safe to say all three of these teams make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say something about the Cubs and the Astros. Building off of what you said, Caleb, that they're only going to get better. The teams in the NL Central, the teams in the AL West, you should be very scared because they have younger guys that are just as motivated, that are just as good, and are just as coachable as the guys already on their roster. They have great coaching staffs and great front office people to help develop. So I completely agree with you. They're only going to get better. And if you're in the NL Central, the AL West, you need to be scared and you need to prepare for intense competition. You know, you need to prepare for the Astros to be good. You need to prepare for the Cubs to be good. And you need to realize what they're doing and do it yourself.
And this, I was talking to my Cardinals friend, he was telling me, how unbelievable would it be if the Cardinals had to play the Cubs and they have to play in the one game wild card, they have to play against Jake Arrieta, the Cardinals who could have the best record in the league most of the year, first to 60, 50, 60, 70, 80 wins, they could lose in a one game wild card if they run into the Cubs and Jake Arrieta, who's been untouchable. It could happen. That's how crazy this NL Central and this season in baseball is.
It's going to be such a sad playoffs because we're not going to see two of these teams get to play each other in NLCS.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Two of them are going to be in the wild card game, and the winner of that will get the winner of the division.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work. And it kind of sucks.
There has to be some. You need to. I'm not saying this, but to make it more fun and to make it interesting, move the Pittsburgh Pirates to the East. Just so we could have those three teams play each other. Just so we could do that.
I wish that would happen.
The Pirates.
Do you really want to deal with the Mets though? I mean, I like your chances against the Mets. Would you want to?
I like the Pirates in that division. I think they would. It would be between. Yeah.
I just want to play the Marlins, the Phillies, and the Braves every other week. Yeah.
Well, we didn't get to all we wanted to talk about there in MLB. We might get back to it in our final segment, but we're gonna go forward with our next segment. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk some NFL. We just have a couple of weeks until that season kicks off, and so we're going to give you a quick rundown of the AFC. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Student Section on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
All right, let's call our buddy up. Every day you come out here, you either get better or you get worse. You're not going to stay the same. And it's all going to start with how you think. Because how you think is going to determine the mental intensity that you play with and sustain with down in and down out. And without it, you cannot improve.
Caleb.
Without it, we cannot improve.
Caleb.
It was better today. Did you see
AC Milan's report on Mario Balotelli?
To assert itself,
they said he in his Balotelli's contract, he can't have any crazy hair or go clubbing.
This is Coach Lou Holtz with a message for guys 18 to 25.
No matter what the one, like, blonde
has that blonde mohawk thing.
How? Register with Selective Service. It's easy. Register online at www.sss.gov or at any post office. It's not an option play, guys. It's a law. And it keeps you eligible for college loans, government jobs, and job training. So take five for America. Register with Selective Service. It's what every young man's got to do.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America. When piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
Hi, I'm Mitch Gaspard, head baseball coach here at University of Alabama. You're listening to the student section, 90.7.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. Thoroughly to rise, early in a sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. The days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sunset low, pull out the fiddle and we're rosin' up the bow. Kids are asleep, so
is that a football song? Is that considered a football song, bringing us in there?
I don't know. Country boys love football, so I might as well play something with country, country boy.
Look, my mama said football was the devil.
Mama said. I think, well, that was on last night.
Of course it was. I feel like it's on every night. Yeah. Probably like TBS or something. I don't know. Well, we're here to talk about some NFL, some AFC this week. Next week we will preview the NFC. We are going to try to run through our division winners and then give you some of the big name players to look out for, and then hopefully get into our sleepers and then our favorites to win the entire conference. So we are going to start in the AFC East. Seems to be a pretty simple pick. The Patriots are most people's favorites. The Dolphins are they're good. They haven't seemed to put it together yet. Ryan Tannehill should have a pretty good season this year, but it's the pieces around them, and it's defensive line. The linebacker, excuse me, that needs depth and needs work. But AFC East, Tom Brady will be more than likely suspended for the first four games or something to do with the appeal. I don't even know with the NFL anymore. Who do y'all have winning the AFC East?
I'm going to stick with the Patriots. Those four games, they might go 1-3, 2-2, but once they get Tom Brady back, they're going to be the same New England Patriots. The only thing that worries me about the Patriots is their secondary, because they lose Darrelle Revis, they lose Brandon Browner, so we'll see what happens there. But that could be their week one matchup against the Steelers could be a nightmare, because they don't have anyone to cover Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, and they don't have really a proven quarterback, so that could be a nightmare matchup. But the rest of the season, I think they'll be all right.
Matt?
Yeah, I think the same thing. You lose a guy like Tom Brady, and that's going to hurt. I honestly think them giving up Ryan Mallett was a bad idea. I know they didn't see it at the time, Brady getting suspended 3 years, two or three years later. When did they trade him?
They traded him out last year.
Okay, so I know they didn't see Brady getting suspended a year later, but I think they should have gone out. I think they should have signed Michael Vick. You need somebody out there. You know, make a call to the SEC Network. Say Greg McElroy, come back. You know, I think, you know, he would have been a much better pickup than Michael Vick for any team. But the Patriots, like you said, Eric, I could see them. I could even see them going 2-2 If Garoppolo plays out of, I think, yeah, that's
yeah, his Garoppolo, Jimmy
plays
Garoppolo
out of his mind, and they just find some way to put it together, you know, 2-2 to without Tom Brady, and then you have Brady to win you 11 games.
They have some tough matchups those first 4 weeks, but yeah.
I mean, look, anything can happen. That's the beauty of sports. But I honestly think that the four games, I could see them winning at least one or two, and then you have Brady back, and then it's smooth sailing from there.
I agree. I got the Patriots winning that. Garoppolo has actually shown a ton of improvement from week one to week two of the preseason. He could be good enough. And honestly, if they were either going to go 0-4 or 4-0 in those first four games, I would still say I would put money on 4-0 rather than 0-4.
Yeah.
I think that they still have plenty of talent, and Garoppolo, I don't know. For some reason, I want to believe in him. And I don't even like the Patriots, and for some reason, I want to believe in him.
I believe in him against the Steelers secondary.
Well, it's still going to be played in the 50, so it'll be a fun game.
Yeah,
we're going to move on to the Steelers division in the AFC North. There are three very good teams here that could win the division. The Ravens and Steelers, clearly. But the Cincinnati Bengals, if Andy Dalton can play like a, if they never get any games in primetime, they could win the division.
Yeah.
Which may, you know, it probably won't happen. But this division seems to be up for grabs right now. I did mention the Steelers are a lot of people's third pick in the AFC. Who do you have in this one, Steelers fan?
I have the Steelers. I just think their offense is going to be so good this year, especially when Le'Veon Bell comes back. You have the three receivers I mentioned, and Brown, Bryant, Wheaton, not to mention Sammy Coates is your fourth receiver, Heath Miller, an improved offensive line. If that defense holds up enough, I think their front seven will be much improved with Jarvis Jones. Hopefully he improves. You still have James Harrison, Bud Dupree. Hopefully that pass rush is better. Mike Mitchell needs to play better. You now have Brandon Boykin. I think that'll really help those cornerbacks. William Gay was a very, very good cornerback last year, so you just need to get another guy next to him that can help out. I think the defense will be good enough to win games with that offense.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I mean, look, I can't really make any points because Eric's taking them all. He's making great points, and that's the beauty of sports radio. Is if you have the same opinion, somebody's going to be making the greater points before you do. But I definitely agree with Eric. There's nothing that I disagree with.
Well, you know, we're talking about his team so far, the Steelers and the Pirates. He knows what he's talking about.
He's the Pittsburgh sports guru for this show. You know, I mean, this is what he is.
You ever need anything about Pittsburgh, I'm your guy.
Well, I agree. I think the Steelers get this. I don't think it's a runaway. I think the Ravens are going to be good.
Oh, no, yeah, not a runaway.
I don't think the Ravens are going to, I don't know, win the division by 10 games or anything like that. But the Steelers, I believe, are the better team here. I think they have a great shot in the AFC as a whole. The Ravens are good. And if you're going to go defense over offense, you pick the Ravens. But we saw that Steelers offense only get better towards the end of the year last year, and I think it continues this year. We're going to move on now to the AFC South, which, you know, has those Indianapolis Colts and the best quarterback in the AFC in Andrew Luck, in my opinion. They're going to win this division. Is there anyone that disagrees with this? The Colts are going to win this division. No one's going to come close here.
Do I think that they made a mistake in not re-signing Reggie Wayne? Yes, I do. I think that was... they signed Andre Johnson, so that's a huge pickup for them. But there's something to be said about not signing your veteran guy who's been there from the start, who's a leader. You know, besides Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne is the leader when Peyton Manning left. You know, he's just been. You need to, and I think that
now he's on your bitter rival.
Yeah, I mean, literally the he goes from the Colts to the Patriots. But I was shocked when that happened, and I don't agree with the way Jim Irsay is running it, but I do think that it's no chance that anybody could pick the anybody else but the Colts. You have to.
Well, I think Andrew Luck goes out and wins MVP this year. I mean, having T.Y. Hilton, Andre Johnson, even Kobe Fleener out there as weapons, I mean,
I think Frank Gore is going to help a lot on that offense.
Frank Gore is going to help. Even Dan Heron is a very good running back who will see a lot of touches. I think the Colts are going to be very good this year, and I don't really see the Titans, Jaguars, or the Texans, even with J.J. Watt, making too much noise in that division. We're going to move on
to the final division of the AFC, the AFC West, mostly West. Then you have Kansas City there in the central part of the country. But the West, which now brings in the Oakland Raiders, bring in former Alabama receiver Amari Cooper, who has been great, but that I don't see that making a difference for the Raiders. I think I have the Broncos once again. I mean, it's Peyton Manning. It's really his division to lose. And even if he's not the same, he still has the weapons out there. And Demaryius Thomas could put forth a record-breaking season now that he's not splitting targets with Julius Thomas. The Broncos still have Emmanuel Sanders and Wes Welker. But Demaryius Thomas is going to have a fantastic year, and I think that helps Broncos win this division.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be more of a running team with C.J. Anderson. Played very well last year when he came in for Ronnie Hillman, Monty Ball, and those guys. But I think it'll be more of a running team, and that defense will be good enough. They're still going to score a lot of points. They're going to be a running team, but they're going to score a lot of points. And I still think they win this division. I think the team to watch out for is Kansas City. I think that offense will be improved. You now have a guy in Jeremy Maclin. Maybe they can score a touchdown. The receiving core can. But I still think this is the Broncos' division to lose.
I agree. I think it's, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. He's going to do his thing. I think as he's getting older, coaches are realizing, the Broncos staff is realizing that he maybe shouldn't be throwing so much. So I agree that you have C.J. Anderson, and even Monty Ball is not even that bad. I think he's been good. I agree that they're going to be a running team. But my dark horse, I can sort of see the Chargers being a little sneaky in there. I could definitely see the Chargers sneaking in. They've been mediocre to good for too long, and it's time that, what the heck's his name? I always forget his name. Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. Yeah.
It's just time for him to step up to his contract. He wanted the money. He needs to start playing and acting like he deserves it.
Just got
it.
The money.
He needs to start acting like playing like he deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it seems like y'all just picked your sleepers out of the West Division with the Chiefs and Chargers. I'm going to go all the way back up to the East Division. I really think the Dolphins have a good shot this year. I mentioned already Ryan Tannehill. I think that he's going to have a career year this year. I think that he's surrounded enough. That offensive line is finally capable of giving him time, and we've seen that when he does have time, he has the talent to make things happen on the offensive end. And that defense, the way that they get after the ball, they force turnovers, can really give trouble to anyone. They're good enough to really even beat the Patriots twice. I'm not going to say that right now, but I could see them going out and beating the Patriots twice, making it making the difference coming down to the very end of the season and possibly winning the division, maybe sneaking into a wild card spot and really making some noise in the playoffs. But before we go to break, who do y'all have making it to the Super Bowl in the AFC? Eric, we'll start with you.
The Steelers. The offense is going to be too good. The defense will hold up. I still think the top teams in the AFC, like New England, like the Colts, I think all the teams in the AFC that could make to the Super Bowl, outside of maybe the Ravens, have troubles on defense. The Patriots, their secondary is going to be weak. The Colts' defense is always pretty weak. I just think the Steelers' offense is going to be too good for those defenses to stop, and I think their defense will make enough stops and make enough plays to get the Steelers in the Super Bowl. Hunt for number 7.
I'm picking the Colts. I'm going to ride the Andrew Luck bandwagon, making it to the AFC Championship game. It's his time. It's now Andrew Luck is going to be the face of the NFL. He's taken over, and I know that they have a bad secondary. Their defense is very, very inconsistent, but I think Andrew Luck is too powerful in that offense. With Andre Johnson, it's just going to be a much, much more improved offense than last year, and I think that gets him over the hump to the Super Bowl.
I agree. I have the Colts. I have the Colts making it to the Super Bowl. I'm not really sure who's going to win the Super Bowl yet. We might get into that in a couple of weeks. But I have the Colts making it there. Now, my bias comes in because I have Andrew Luck on my fantasy team.
There you go.
And I'm really excited for him, and I think he's going to have a tremendous year. But I think that defense is good enough, and I think being in that division helps them in the long run because they really should win all six of those games. And if they do win all six of those games in the division, that gives them a great chance at having home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which I give them the edge over the Patriots, over the Steelers, over the Ravens, in terms of...
What about the Bengals?
What about them?
AJ McCarron for starter. McCarron for starter.
AJ did have a decent game the other night.
Yeah, at least Andy he didn't
Dalton,
throw two picks.
Andy Dalton did not. Well, to be fair, one was AJ Green's fault.
Okay, yeah. They need to start making a stat to where it's the receiver's fault, because that's ridiculous. You can't give a... That's going to hurt your fantasy. They need to realize
that's
that.
What they're worried about. Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about if I'm picking Andy Dalton.
Well, why are you picking Andy Dalton?
Yeah, why are you picking Andy Dalton? That's the question.
Because I like him. He was good.
We're gonna move on. We're gonna go into our final segment now. We have a little bit of fun for y'all, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Our station is just one more thing that's better than Auburn. 90.7
You want me to make this a shorter break? Shorter break? You want me to make this a shorter break?
They can't defend the championship. It's in the history books. Nobody can take it away from you. This is a new mountain. This is a new climb.
It's all about us having to do it again, but 10 times harder, because we know that everybody's coming for us.
We're the team circled on everybody's calendar. We play at the University of Alabama, so we expect to have this bullseye.
So why do you do the right things? Why do you make the right decisions? Why do you push yourself to finish? Nobody said it was going to be easy. It wasn't easy ever before either. It wasn't easy getting where we are. We ain't giving it back, and we're not going to let you give it back. One, two, three, down.
I have a passion for the environment. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. We monitor commercial vessels, making sure our ports and waterways are safe and clean from oil or other hazardous material. We patrol our fisheries, protect marine wildlife and their habitats. With all we do, it's about protecting America.
Were you born ready to protect America? Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm former Alabama quarterback Greg McElroy, and you're listening to the student section on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back into the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. Caleb Turrentine, Eric Evenson, Matt Davis here with you. Going to have a little bit of fun here in our final segment. If you've listened to any of the shows we've had over the summer, or if I've been hosting them, I like to do a little bit of buy or sell. That's what I like to do. I like to hear opinions of my fellow host here. And that's what we're going to do. We have a lot to talk about, though. We got 10 minutes to go, so we're going to get into it. We're gonna start with some college football. Last night, I was writing up some more previews on my college football rankings. Came out this morning on the radio station's website. If you want to check that out, shameless plug. Now, and I previewed Clemson, and the more I looked at them, the more I liked them. Mm-hmm. And being in the ACC, it's very possible to have an undefeated season. So tell me this: buy or sell? Clemson wins the ACC and makes the college football playoff.
I'm going to buy that they win the ACC. That's a definite buy for me. I'm skeptical to say they make the college football playoff, just because I think if you have a two-loss SEC team, I think they still get in over a two-loss SEC team that wins the SEC championship, they get in over Clemson. And that's assuming that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the Big 10 all have teams that have one or less loss. And I think the ACC would be the one conference that doesn't get in there.
Yeah, I'm buying it. I think that with all the stuff that's happening in Florida State, they were originally my choice to win the ACC, but I definitely think that Clemson, looking at them, like you said, Caleb, they've just gotten more and more. I'm trying to find the word. I'm not going to use delicious, but more
delicious.
But they've just gotten more and
they're
more.
They're a good pick.
They've gotten more and more impressive to me as the weeks went on. So I definitely am choosing them, and I'm buying that too.
Yeah, I think that they can. I don't think that they can control their own destiny in making the playoffs.
Yes.
I think a 12-0 season is very impressive. If Florida State gets in a 12-0, you think that Clemson would, but I think they have to do it in an impressive fashion, and I think that they can. They have a Thursday night meeting against Louisville at Louisville in week three, but they get Georgia Tech, Florida State at home. I think that that'll be huge for them. And they have to go to South Carolina. They get Notre Dame at home. They have teams that can be impressive wins. And with Deshaun Watson, hopefully if he stays healthy, he's a very good quarterback. And last year that defense was so good, and they have plenty of talent coming back. They lose Vic Beasley, but they have plenty of talent there to fill in. And I think that they can have those impressive wins to at least show the committee that they're good enough to play with the best. Well, we're gonna skip forward here to some baseball. Let's go over to some baseball. Buy or sell that Josh Donaldson wins the MVP over Mike Trout?
Sell. Oh hell no.
I'm buying it. I mean, Mike Trout, his team is falling out of contention. About as quickly as you can fall out of contention, and he hasn't done anything to help that offense. He's been batting 207 over the last month or so, and he's really just hasn't helped. And if you're the most valuable player in the league, you do whatever you can to keep your team in contention, and Josh Donaldson has been batting about 400 over the last few weeks, and his team is rocketing up the standings. Mike Trout, his team has fallen off the standings, and he's fallen off. That's what a valuable play that determines your how valuable you are is how your team does when you either do really well or you don't do very well. And Mike Trout isn't doing very well. His team's not doing very well. Josh Donaldson's been very good over the last few weeks, and his team has been very good over the last few weeks. So I'm buying it.
Eric, it looks like you're staring into my soul as you're saying that. It's very scary. No disrespect to Josh Donaldson. I respect the man. You know, I love what he did his last couple years in Oakland. And I have the utmost respect for, you know, any baseball player. They're doing what I want to do. You know, everybody wants to play pro baseball. Who's a fan of it? But I don't see Josh Donaldson staying this hot for all of September. Mike Trout, I think Josh Donaldson is going to stay average. I think he's going to maybe drop off a little bit, but I think that Mike Trout will pick up his play because that's the kind of player that he is, and he's
so. Is he still the most valuable player if the Blue Jays make the playoffs and the Angels don't? Do you still pick Mike Trout? Because it's not the best player in the league. It's the most valuable player.
I think I'll have to wait and see. I can't make that decision right now because the season is not over yet, and I want to see what happens. If it comes to that, I might reconsider because I think that you are right. I think that there is some value there to making the playoffs and being that catalyst for your team.
And it's not like Mike Trout plays on a team of scrubs. He has some talent on that team.
No, he's got Albert Pujols. Yeah. He's got, you know, good guys.
If he played on the Phillies where they have a double-A team and Mike Trout, then I would reconsider. But he has talent on that team.
Well, I don't even know where to pick. I gave you all this question. I don't even know if I have an answer. I think Mike Trout has had an incredible season. And the thing about what he's done over the past 2 weeks, it hasn't been impressive, but he's still Mike Trout, and he can turn that around easily.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't know. If you trade teams, I think Mike Trout has an even better season, and Josh Donaldson has a worse season. So it's one of those things that, yes, the Blue Jays are in the playoffs, but I don't know if it's because of Josh Donaldson.
Yeah.
If the Angels didn't have Mike Trout, they wouldn't even have ever been in the playoff hunt. So I don't know. Right now, I think I still give it to Mike Trout, but it's a very, very close race. We're going to stick with baseball. The Dodgers ended a 5-game losing streak last night with a win over the Reds. They are 2.5 games up on the Giants in the NL West. And get this, only 6.5 up on the Diamondbacks now. The Diamondbacks are actually in a talk to win a division.
Come on, Diamondbacks. We need some wins against the Cards here.
So do you buy or sell the Dodgers hang on and win this division?
I'm selling it. I'm selling it. The Giants are gonna win that division. They've been there before. They have another run left in them, and I just don't think the Dodgers have their bullpen is atrocious. I don't think they have very much starting pitching outside of Greinke and Kershaw. Alex Wood has been less than impressive since coming over. Matt Latos has been pretty bad since coming over. Brett Anderson's their three guy. He's been all right, but I just don't think they. I don't think they're a good enough team, and I'm selling that they're going to win the division. I'm buying that they're not going to make the playoffs.
I can't rule out the fact that they still have two of the best starters in the league, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. I still can't get over the fact that they have probably the best 1-2 combination in baseball, and at the top of their rotation, every team runs into a little bit of a blip here and there. I think that they'll put it together. I'm not going to discount the fact that the Giants have another run in them because we've seen it. We know how good they can be.
Especially when they get Hunter Pence back.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Madison Bumgarner, maybe the third best. And listen, the NL West has probably, in my opinion, the best three starters in all of baseball. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke, Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, and, arguably.
There's always going to be a debate on that. But do I think that the Dodgers have the division locked down? No. Do I think that the Giants and Diamondbacks could make a push? I think the Giants have more of a chance to make a push than the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks in the middle of September might have a little bit of a cold spell, and I think that that'll hurt them in a little bit. But I don't think that – I think the Dodgers have to watch out for the Giants.
We have a couple more to get to. We're going to switch over to the NFL now. Adrian Peterson yesterday said that – Now, he came out and he said that it was kind of a joke, but what he said was that he is the LeBron James of football. Buy or sell?
He can't perform in prime time? Oh, yeah, I'll buy that. Oh, wait, but you have to make the playoffs, so yeah, you're still like LeBron because you still can't play when it really matters.
I don't even know. He's the Adrian Peterson of the NFL. That's what I'm going to go with.
He's
the Ray Rice of NFL for kids.
If this was 2 years ago if this was 2 years ago, everyone would be like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what Adrian Peterson did 2 years ago in that season, and it's just like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what LeBron James is. He's the best player in the league, and it's clear that he's the best player in the league. Right now, not so much. Yeah. Now, he said he was joking. He said he's good friends with LeBron and everything.
I'm confused as to why he was what the comparison was.
I think it was the
fact
player.
That he can win or the fact that, you know, he's the best player in the
league. Yeah, best player in the league.
I think
best skill set. Sure, I'll buy that.
I'll buy that too, but I don't think
when he's on the field.
You have to be on the field. I don't think he's the best all around. I think that there's guys that could compete with him, like Marshawn Lynch.
One more. Rex Ryan said that he expects the Bills to make the playoffs this year. Buy or sell?
They were actually one of my sleeper teams, so I am going to buy that they will be competing for that sixth playoff spot because I'm a big Tyrod Taylor believer. I think he brings dynamic to that offense. LeSean McCoy, if he can stay healthy, he's going to be able to run the ball. That defense, already good last year. Rex Ryan's a very good defensive coach, will be better. I'm buying that they will be in the hunt for that sixth playoff spot.
I'm buying that too. I can see them at 8-8 or 9-7 and making a little bit of a push for that last sixth playoff spot too.
I just haven't seen enough, and that quarterback situation is a disaster right now. If you have Tyrod Taylor on an NFL roster, competing, I don't believe in him. I don't believe in him.
If Joe Webb is on an NFL roster, Tyrod Taylor can
go Blazers. Joe Webb. don't be dissing on UAB players.
I'm sorry.
Before we go, give you a couple of things to watch for tonight. If you're a Braves fan, know you have been happy with the way the season's been going. Shelby Miller is 5-10, but he's a great pitcher, and he's on the mound tonight against the Rockies. It's only 4:00. If you want to go see him, drive over to Turner Field. You might can make it. They play at 7:00 tonight. Shelby Miller against the Rockies, and then Chris Archer for the Tampa Bay Rays faces off against the Twins. Another incredible pitcher to watch tonight. I like to when I'm thinking about what baseball to watch, I'm like, all right, these are a couple of guys that could throw a no-hitter tonight. So those are the games I'm going to watch, especially since the Yankees already lost. But that'll do it for us here on the student section. We'll be back next Wednesday. The show will be back on Friday from 3 to 4, so make sure you tune in then. But for Eric Evenson and Matt Davis, I'm Caleb Turrentine signing off. Roll Tide.